Cruz, 99.1 FM Talk.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
It's a beautiful cloudy day. It's a beautiful day for a radio show. Current temperature in Reno, 63 degrees. I'm John Potter, live and local in studio with us. Our guest for this segment, George Forbush, Republican candidate for the Congressional District 2 seat that Mark Abaday is vacating. Just gave me his flyer. And, this is your slogan, defending the Silver State spirit. Hi, George.
How are you doing, John? Thank you for having me. Yep, that is one of my slogans. I also have common sense over nonsense as a secondary.
Actually, on your website, it says, kind of a longer version, but I love it, defending the Silver State spirit and bringing back common sense to the law and the people of Nevada. Yes! Love it. Now, met before. When was this?
I think we met probably about 6 or 7 years ago. You were at Sparks PD. I don't remember what.
What did I do?
Oh, you didn't do anything wrong. No, you were a guest, not an inmate. You weren't in custody. You weren't wearing handcuffs or anything like that. But you had come in for some reason, and I remember us talking and riding the elevator down to the patrol briefing area together.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was I nice to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You were telling jokes, and you had me smiling.
Well, I appreciate that. That's actually my goal in life, you know? we all have that. Well, tell us a bit about yourself, Mr. Forbush.
Well, I'd like your listeners to know that I'm born and raised here. I've lived here my whole entire life. I actually grew up in Sun Valley, Nevada. Lived in a little single-wide trailer with my folks there. Went to Sun Valley Elementary School. And then from there, I ended up going to Trainer Middle School. Moved to Sparks over by Reed High, attended Reed High, went to TMCC. I got sponsored by the Washoe County Sheriff's Office to go to the Police Academy. And then I got actually hired by the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office out in Winnemucca, and I did 7 years as a deputy sheriff out there and then came back to Sparks where I did 20 more years and retired in 2022.
Your great-grandfather settled in Nevada from Europe in the late 1800s?
Yeah,
stories you've heard.
Yes, and we actually have a family plot in Yerington off of Bridge Street. We have two family plots there with Forbushes and Batch Elders, which is my grandmother. So we have a lot of headstones there.
Ranchers, right?
Yeah, ranchers.
That's not hard. All right, so you were with Sparks Police Department for quite a long time. Did you ever think that you'd be running for office, and why? What was the major thing that triggered you to run for Congressional District 2 seat?
Well, I never planned on really running. I've always paid attention to politics. But ultimately, what made me run was I'm a big hunter and sportsman, and a lot of things that set me off this last year was seeing politicians on the Republican side and on the Democratic side who wanted to push for selling off public lands. And I value that very, very much here in Nevada, because you don't get that in other states. In other states, if you want to go ride your four-wheeler, if you want to go hiking or do something outdoors, you have to have permission from a landowner. This is one of the only states where you can go anywhere. And you don't really have to go very far. You can go 10, 15 minutes, and you can go anywhere you want to do just about whatever it is that is your recreational activity. So when I saw that Mark Abaday was leaving, I thought that's a good opportunity for me to come in and try to stand up for those values. And I'm also on the Coalition for Nevada's Wildlife. I have a nonprofit hunting organization. So that's ultimately what made me decide to run. I mean, there's lots of reasons. I also don't want to see Nevada turn into California. I want to keep us red. So I got a long list.
Well, you're a brave man because I lost count of how many people are running for this seat now. What, 17?
Yeah, you know, it's really, it's a high number, but I have, there's candidates that are on that list that I haven't actually seen. In my opinion, we're down to really like four people that actually show up to all the events, and I think that are really serious about it on the Republican side. I'm not quite sure what's going on the Democratic side.
You're already making an impact. I guess you showed up first or second place on the radio poll.
Yeah.
You heard about that. Already you're in the top four, I believe. I think the number one issue, if we had somebody who lives here standing right next to me, I think the first thing they would bring up, something's got to be done about, and this could bury us, the fuel situation. And I was on earlier talking about $6.50 diesel that I just filled up with, and I don't think the media is treating this right. I think this is hurting folks where it hurts. What can you do if you get Congressional District 2, if you have that seat, George Forbush, about our fuel situation?
Well, I think it's actually a pretty easy fix. We currently have Sinclair Petroleum right now that wants to do a pipeline from Utah to northern Nevada. They're looking at it right now as we speak. They've been looking at it. So what we're looking at in order to make that happen is actually allowing them to do it, allow them to have the permits and go through the regulation process and just make this stuff happen. A lot of people don't realize that we get 100% of our fuel from California right now. It goes through a pipeline from California into northern Nevada, and I believe we get about 6.9 million gallons of fuel every day. If that pipeline gets shut down, we don't get any more fuel. And if you look at what's going on in California, they are shutting down refineries. They just shut one down by Benicia. And
I think two so far, and a third one is on tap.
Yes.
To be wound, a Valero or somebody.
Valero just got shut down.
And it's the high cost of regulations and meddlesome state government making business very, very difficult. They're saying, what the heck, we're going to shut things down. Supply and demand already tells you that's going to hurt us even further.
Well, I should tell you, when the fuel industry can't even survive in California, and they make billions of dollars, and they can't survive, I mean,
I know
it's just ridiculous what's going on. But we rely on that. And if we don't get that fuel, then where are we going to get it? So what I want to do is I want us to bring our do the same exact thing. I'm not looking at reinventing the wheel here. I just want us to bring our fuel in from Utah and look at building another tank farm just like what we have here at Sparks, and then we would distribute our fuel from eastern Nevada instead of Sparks. It would be great if we could have fuel coming in from California still and from Utah, but at least we would have a backup in case something were to happen. And you take the politics out of it. Let's just say one of those refineries was to burn down, you know, some type of accident. We still need to have a backup. So I think it's a smart move for us to start moving towards being...
It's an imperative move.
Yeah.
And this is the first I really heard about the Sinclair proposal. I just don't know what's stopping it.
Well, it's out there. And what's funny to me is I was one
Well, if it's out there, somebody should jump on it right now.
That's me.
All right. Well, there you go.
And I've done that. And it's funny because now some of the other people that are running for other offices, they're hearing that now. So I've been to other people's speeches and they're starting to talk about it. So...
All right, so we covered open space, fuel prices. I notice many politicians, especially running for federal office, they always put this affordable housing as a top three issue for them, and it deserves to be a top three issue, affordable housing. But aside from getting more money from the feds, throwing money at it, they never really detail these other candidates. They never detail exactly how they're going to achieve affordable housing. You suggest changing mortgage terms and loan terms to make housing affordable again. How does that work?
Well, I'm not a, you know, economic person that went to college to learn how to do all this type of stuff, but I'm just more of a common sense type of guy. And the idea came to me when you looked at the price of vehicles. You know, when I bought my first house, I spent $100,000 on my first house. You have trucks that are costing $100,000. And what the banks did is they extended the loans. So I'm just looking at it from that perspective. Why don't we extend the loan term out a little bit longer so people can afford the monthly payment? And people might say, well, then you'll never be able to afford your home. And I guess it depends on what type of where you're
at. But you can live in it.
But you can live in it. Then right. You don't have a landlord telling you what to do.
Right. And so when the longer term loan payments will be lower because of that.
Correct.
President Trump brought this up about 3-4 weeks ago, and the media just skewered him for it. And it fell with a thud. But it makes an awful lot of sense to have people live in a home. Adding 10 years to a loan term, you're really not money out of pocket here. I mean, you can sell at any time.
Well, and that's the point, is to make it affordable. So you can,
right?
Because the price of a house isn't going to come down. And
it'll go up, and people in the middle of a term could sell their home and not be hurt by it.
Exactly. And what I want to see people do is, even if you buy a home and you are only in that house for 5 years, at least you get to walk away with the equity. If you're renting, I have a renter right now. I like my renters, but they've been renting a property of mine for the last 15 years. If they were to move out tomorrow, the only thing they're going to get out of their pocket is the security deposit, which I think is roughly around $1,000. If you live in a house for 5 years and then you decide to sell it and your equity goes up to $100,000, you're now at least leaving with $100,000 in your pocket, and then you could put that down on another home, whatever it is that you think you need to do. But owning a house is much more important and much more profitable than renting. And renting, there's a place for renting. I've rented before. But we want to encourage people to have home ownership. Another thing that I think we need to do is we could look at loans, for example, maybe possibly expand VA benefits to police officers and first responders, because those people have some very, very good jobs. But if you're single income and you're still making $90,000 and a house still costs you $600,000, it's hard for you to get in. So I just want us to be able to give people as much opportunity as we can by looking at these loan programs. I don't believe building more homes is going to bring the cost down as much, because these developers, even if they build them at cost, they're not going to be nice and just say, you know what, we'll just sell it to you for $30,000 above what we paid for. They're going to want to maximize their profits.
All right, we're out of time. Folks, the website is For Bush for Congress. For Bush, F-O-R-B-U-S-H, for Congress.com. Common sense over nonsense. And look at this. Everywhere I look, your website, your flyers, phone number. Is that your personal phone number? Because I haven't seen candidates put their personal phone number on things. They don't like to be bothered by the riffraff.
Correct. It is a secondary phone number, but I do have that phone with me, and I do answer it.
You answer it.
I answer it as long as it's not 3 in the morning.
All right, 775-335-5830. George Forbush for Congress. Folks, if you have a minute or two, check out the website, forbushforcongress.com. So nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Awesome. Awesome candidate here. I'm John Potter, live and local. Back shortly, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:19.
Is FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Current temperature in Reno, 64 degrees. Cloudy, getting a little bit of rain, too, later on. We'll keep our eye on that for sure. Story Phil wrote this week, if you have a few hours to spare today, keep Truckee Meadows Beautifuls inviting you to take part in the great community cleanup. It is going on now until 12 noon. More than 800 volunteers right now spreading out across Reno, Sparks, and Sun Valley, tackling more than 25 cleanup sites. Check out KTMB's website on this. Keep Truckee Meadows Beautiful. And I think this is one of the finest organizations that we have. My only minor issue is that they kind of tiptoe around the homeless camp issue. And they will do the river cleanups, but they just seem to work around. It's really not up to them to get rid of the homeless, but definitely those camps need a cleanup. And in case you haven't heard, cleanup crews are coming out to the big homeless encampment that is right alongside I-80 east of Sparks. This is scheduled for Saturday, June 13th. What are they waiting for? The site is going to be tackled, as they said to reporters. I'm not sure what tackled means in this case. The large-scale campsite, if you ever go on 50, you notice, what are these people doing walking alongside the highway? It's from this campsite, which happens to be on BLM land along the westbound side of I-80, just west of Lockwood. Authorities say the site has been a real safety risk for drivers and the homeless who have been walking and biking on the shoulder and even crossing I-80 in a very dangerous blind spot area with fast traffic and even causing backups. Authorities say those risks, too, have been increasing. They say the Hope Outreach team is going to be at the cleanup, too, to help those living there to find alternatives, though officers have not had much luck at all giving them deadlines, and they say many of the homeless have been turning down available services, and that relocating them has proven to be ineffective. Well, to be honest with you, no enforcement is always ineffective, right? No rules, no progress. But this is dangerous for what the news media calls campers. That they are not campers. We have had two people hit and killed walking or biking alongside the highway from that area over the past, when was the first one? I think something like 5 months ago. And there's been two so far. We had one about a month and a half ago that happened. And of course, the TV news covered it. But it was odd that reporters did not make the connection between these victims and, hey, there's an encampment right there over those rocks. They walk the freeway often, and I'm not heartless to their issue, but I'm sorry, you don't get to add stress to our lives on the interstate based on your choices. What can you do about people walking and biking along I-80 near a blind spot? For drivers. Very little now. I don't know if you know this, but the Nevada legislature made violations by pedestrians just a civil infraction. You can write the same guy 10 tickets in 10 separate incidents of walking in the freeway, but police really have no power to arrest anybody for it. I'm not a smart person, and I'm certainly not any kind of doctor or anything like that, but I believe in the case I believe in personal responsibility. I believe in bootstraps. Okay, that's how I was brought up. Lift yourself up by your bootstraps. But on the other hand, I also believe that there are in life different accidents or misadventures which can occur, and people will be different and react differently to those challenges they encounter in life. We're all unique, and the right way to treat everybody is primarily with love and understanding. And like human beings, look people in the eyes, speak to them. I'm an ignorant person, but that's what I think is the right thing to do. Let's love everybody, and at the same time, expect the most from everybody. Treat everybody with respect. That's the best way forward, no doubt. Let's treat everybody like who they are, fellow Americans and children of God. We have a good world here, and there is much good that can be done. But we also have hungry people who need to be fed, and we have people who are going without, and we need to help them get back on their feet. And I'm not saying this all gets cured by writing some big giant welfare check. But around our globe, not just over in Iran, but you look at some of these places like Sudan and Nigeria, where people are being killed because they're from the wrong tribe. People are killed because they worship Jesus. People are being killed for horrible, meaningless reasons. And you think about those places and those people and you say, oh, please let there be peace and let them live their lives with the happiness that God intended. And I might be wrong about this, but I figure that pretty much everybody on this earth wants about the same thing. They just want to be left alone. They want to raise their family. They want to live their life. They want to be with their sweethearts. They want to be with their kids. They want to, again, live and pursue their happiness, to borrow that phrase. And I think everybody's got to be the same in that regard. And I pray for a world at peace where that can happen, for people working in those sweatshops in China, for the women in Iran and Afghanistan who all have to be wrapped up in those clothes or they get beaten or acid thrown in the face. I want people to be free to worship and live their lives over there in the Middle East, even if they're not the right brand of Muslim. I want people to be able to live in Nigeria, in the beautiful continent of Africa, without having to fear that their children will be stolen or that their lives will be taken because they're Christians. And so again, forgive me, I'm just rambling off here, and I recognize there's no solution that can be, handed over on a platter on some lame radio show as a solution for what we face and also for what the homeless face. I don't think I made any sense at all in the last 5 minutes, but thank you for putting up with me. We have the Douglas County Republicans coming on at 11 o'clock, just a half hour from there. Otherwise, it's open topic, focusing on the local. Tell us about yourself, how your week was, what you're doing this weekend. Our phone number is 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter. Live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Local news with Greg Neft after Fox News FM News Talk time, 10:30.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
I appreciate you tuning in. I hope you'll tell your friends about this show. Well, hold on now. If you have something nice to say to your friends about this broadcast, I wish you would tell them. If instead you're just going to tell them the truth that John Potter sucks, is just like when he was on Channel 2, he's that bad again. If that's what you're going to tell them, you can back off that, okay? I don't need that passed around. Let them discover the sucking all on their own, okay? It's anyway. Phil, what happened in this office building? Something happened like a month ago to where every time I go to the restroom in this office building, there's always people there.
I don't know. This place got very popular on the weekends.
Some company or something opened here, and it's incredible because that used to be a great refuge, one of these restrooms in the office building. And I'm just constantly running into people. They recognize me. They want to shake. I don't want to shake your hand in the restroom. And I'm not a good handshaker in the first place.
Especially what after I just shook.
I how in church they do that. Everybody turn around and shake hands with your neighbor and let's pass the peace. For a while, I would not shake hands during the pass the peace thing because I have great experience in what you can catch. I'm trying to make this as vague as I can possibly be, but I caught something terrible once, and I'm not a nutcase like Howie Mandel, where I walk around with these antiseptic gizmos, but I'm not a good handshaker. And I would not pass the peace in church, and I got the nastiest looks from people. And I finally gave in, and 6 months later, I got something terrible again. So restroom handshakes is not a thing with me. Okay, what is a thing with me is I have a diesel truck, and this is outrageous out there. Phil, you always keep tabs on what the prices are. You live, I think, what, North Valleys?
I do. I was driving into work this morning, and I passed the 7-Eleven on Virginia Street at Golden Valley. The gas price there, $5.39 a gallon. Diesel price, $6.69 a gallon. I was driving in on 395 through Carson City, passing the Golden Gate gas station there on William, and it is $4.79. I didn't catch the diesel price.
And they went up again this week. How could they go up again?
I don't know. It shouldn't be. The oil prices have been fairly stable.
Right. Well, I'm speaking to my diesel folk here. This is outrageous. I stopped off to buy gas late yesterday after running errands. My wife's GMC truck was empty. You know, when the gas prices are this high, you can't put off until you can't put off any longer. And so after getting her half and half and what was it? She wanted gherkin pickles for her tuna salad and some eggs. Wow, those prices I love. Eggs. But I make the hop over to this Maverick gas station, and I get out. It was $6.49 for diesel, and that was like one of the cheapest prices in Reno, according to Gas Buddy. That's why I went there. $6.49 for diesel. The Reno Costco doesn't have diesel. That's another bad thing. So it was $6.49.9. You know how they play that game. So $6.50 a gallon, or as I was thinking at the time, $6.50 an MFing gallon. I thought, holy cats, this starts to get expensive. Now, here's the thing I ran into. I think you, maybe you know better about this than I do, but when you buy gas and you use your debit card, they like check to see if you have, like, I think it's $75 in your account. And so they put a hold on $75, and the card is going to let you pump gas. Well, okay, first off, gosh, I remember when $75 filled the tank. I couldn't pump gas within the $75 that my debit card allows. Does anybody have anybody else with a debit card have this kind of restriction? I think it's just me with my low balance. That's another story altogether.
You are not alone in that. I have run into the same problem.
Well, for people filling gas tanks, this is a problem.
Yeah, $75 isn't what it used to be.
No, last night I'm standing there at the gas station in the cool of the evening, and it stopped at exactly 74. And I'm like, oh, my God, great. That's not enough gallons. That's just half a tankful. I did the math in my head. $6.50 times the truck's 24-gallon tank equals $156 now to fill her GMC truck.
And you did that math in your head?
No.
Well,
I knew that would impress you, but I guess not.
Well, I had to run into the studio when I was hearing this. The nice thing about going to Costco is they just verify that the card is valid with $1 hold. Then overnight they run your whole charge. So it's not like you're getting $75.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I couldn't even go to Costco. Like I said, they don't sell diesel. Yeah.
I was going to ask the Carson City, because they are revamping the Carson City, adding more pumps, as if they were going to add a diesel tank. I forgot to ask Zach the other day when I was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We have to go to Sparks Costco. They have diesel. Why is it some of these have diesel and some don't? Hopefully they'll get diesel in Reno. Anyway, I'm getting off track. It's that cap.
You got derailed again.
Yes, I get derailed. That cap on the debit card is a reflection, not of some problem with banking policies and procedures, but a reflection of the damn gas is expensive, and I don't have a lot of money, okay? Big mistakes were made. We're not going to get into that later. But let me go back to Costco. We are blessed to have Costco, which allows each day with the truck to be a little bit more affordable. But it's, of course, a whole heck of a lot more expensive than it was a year or so ago. And my wife will make a comment. She is sometimes a little more critical of our friend in the White House more than I am. But way back in the day, I remember stopping to buy gas during the Biden administration. It was like, I think about 4 years ago when gas prices were almost this high the last time. And I remember stopping off at the Sparks Costco to buy gas, and it was a mess of cars. I mean, there were lines from each row of pumps that were, you know, literally 10, 11, 12 cars long. So I opened up the window on the truck, and I stuck my phone out there, and I took a picture of this big gathering of cars lined up for $5-plus diesel. And I texted it to my wife, and I go, hey, look, it's a Biden rally. I'm like, well, Joe is kind of screwing us on the gas prices, isn't he? And so now every time I stop at Costco now and I buy gas, you know, she jives back a little bit. When I get home, she'll say, hey, how'd it go with that Trump gas rally today? So I don't know. I hope and I pray that soon gas gets down, and I worry about the impact of diesel fuel prices on the people who bring us our food. Diesel fuel nationwide, they say, is up 45% since the commencement of this deal with Iran. Here, I swear to God, it's tripled. It's not kidding. And there are a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of tractors and maybe more significantly for the economy, a whole bunch of 18-wheelers who need to get where they need to get. And that transportation expense is going to bite us all hard if it hasn't already as we go forward when it comes to food and everything else they deliver by truck. So I pray for peace in the Middle East so that we can have peace in the Middle East. I also pray for peace in the Middle East so that we can have... you know, some gas that we can barely afford again. It was never cheap to begin with. Thanks, Newsom. I'm John Potter. Phone number 884-9910. Back shortly. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk FM News Talk Time 1046.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Current temperature in Reno, 63 degrees. Clouds, a beautiful day for... Oh, 65, sorry. Just refreshed it. Beautiful day for a radio show. I'm John Potter. On our latest, this just in... On her latest podcast, Megyn Kelly ripped into President Trump for his posts demanding ABC cancel Jimmy Kimmel over the late-night host's roast of Melania Trump having a glow like an expectant widow. Kimmel says if he should be fired over poor ratings, so should Trump. Okay. I thought Democrats were against hate speech. And at what I'm asking, at what point does Disney realize Kimmel is just not worth the aggravation? If Walt Disney were still around, Kimmel's show would have never seen the light of day. Walt was all about the joy of entertainment, not politics. Disney and ABC, I felt this years ago, have lost their way. I remember when the Biden administration demanded the removal of COVID theories, you know, that said it started in the Wuhan lab, which turned out to be true, but you couldn't post it on Facebook, or you couldn't talk about vaccines. It was all from the president that that stuff was removed, not allowed. I remember White House spokesperson Jen Psaki saying from the podium that the White House was flagging problematic posts for Facebook. I remember when Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg told Congress that senior Biden officials repeatedly pressured Facebook for months to censor COVID content, including humor and satire. That wasn't about foreign propaganda. It was the U.S. government pressuring private companies to suppress lawful domestic speech by Americans, including jokes and true information. Now, you can have free speech 24/7, 365, but if the government's licensee performs to the benefit of one party over the other, then, yeah, the FCC should be involved, or not at all. Either way, all of this doesn't make Jimmy Kimmel any more entertaining or funny. He moved from comedian to demagogue some time ago. Man, I used to love the show, but the laugh-out-loud days of Uncle Frank and Cousin Sal on his show are long gone. Kimmel and friends are thinly veiled political commercials and unreported political contributions is what they really are. And Jimmy Kimmel just persists as a subsidized political contribution throughout the show. Right now, I think Kimmel belongs on an angry left-wing podcast. That would be the perfect fit. I mean, really, we watch late night. I do. I watch late night TV, or I used to watch late night TV to get away from politics for entertainment, right? Or if it's there, politics on late night should make you laugh. Now we're harangued and yelled at by woke entertainers and the loud left-wing hosts on the news and the podcasts. They fire up action from the crazies. And if you factor in the repeated shootings and the attempts on the lives of the president and the other lawmakers that we've had, that changes the fire and the theater threshold for me. Then again, government really should not decide which commentary counts as journalism and which counts as a campaign donation. They shouldn't have to. Journalists and big network TV hosts should have scruples, but they lost those along the way. But, you know, on the other hand, eventually, as Ted Cruz pointed out a few months ago, if President Trump succeeds in getting Jimmy Kimmel fired or taken off the air, as Ted Cruz pointed out, there will be a left-wing U.S. president who will want to cancel media people who say mean things about them. Just like Biden canceled the COVID stories and posts. The shoe will eventually be on the other foot if this trend is allowed to continue. A future left-wing president will have zero hesitation to muzzle media outlets they feel are critical if this is done. And regardless of party, the next administration will use the same playbook on speech. And once the genie is out, there's nothing to stop the power hungry, especially if they believe they're doing, quote, good. But Kimmel is still annoying. And the cable news networks just infuriate me. I can take humor about politics. I really enjoy Bill Maher every Friday on HBO. And I was enjoying Comedy Central Daily Show. But boy, they really, really upset me. It was like, I think two nights ago. And they brought on this Muslim commentator, comedian. And this guy did a routine. And the audience is laughing and screaming. And they love it and everything. And this guy made us Americans, you know, he's showing clips of all the wacko people. They don't represent our entire population whatsoever. It's a straw man routine here where you show the wackos and present it as what Americans think of Muslims. You know, he started off by saying, "My name is Mo." You know what Mo stands for, right? It's Mohammed. And everybody's laughing because apparently we're all just terrified and, no, we have love for people in our heart. I have love for all religions in my heart and all people who are born good at heart. And I am a Christian more than ever right now. But that, and he did 9/11 jokes too. And the crowd is laughing about it. It depressed me greatly. My wife is going, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I was just thinking of these people who lost their lives in the Twin Towers. And I had a cat in my lap at the time, okay? And I'm thinking of those cats that that never had their owners come home. And then I thought about the children who never had their dad or their mom come home. You see, with me, 9/11 is still very, very fresh in my heart. And I can't describe how painfully it hurts me when people denigrate our culture, our people, our workers, those who were killed by hate, but you want to repaper it as overreaction from racist Americans. It just had a very bad effect on me. And I just, I almost cried. I went to bed way early. The night was lost to me. But the crowd was laughing. They were enjoying it. Okay, thank God the music came on and Potter will shut up. I'm John Potter, live and local. The Douglas County Republicans are with me next on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We have Fox News here. We have an hour left to go in the show. We'll make it open topic again, i.e. Rambling Potter at 10:30. FM News Talk time is 10:58.